Welcome to Prophetic Ministries, a nonprofit organization committed to the preservation, proclamation, and proliferation of God's present truth message for these last days. Join us now as Pastor Stephen Bohr presents The Rapture, Hoax or Hope, Part 7.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being here to fellowship together and to study your word. We ask, Lord, that you will give us your wisdom, that you will open our minds and you will open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us. Give us divine understanding, for in ourselves we can do absolutely nothing. So be with us, enlighten us, and bless us. We pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me in our study to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And I would like to read, as we begin our study, verses 40 and 41. Matthew chapter 24 and verses 40 and 41. Jesus is speaking here and he says this: "Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left." As we spoke about last time, there are many people, many religious people in this world who believe that the second coming of Jesus will be in two stages. They believe that Jesus will come in what is known as the rapture, 7 years before his glorious coming. In other words, the second coming of Jesus is composed of two stages. First, the rapture. 7 years later, the glorious coming of Jesus. Now, one of the favorite passages which is used to try and sustain this view is the passage that we just read from Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41. Now, it would be well for us to notice what the text does not say. Because usually people say, well, this is very clear. It says that when Jesus comes, he's going to take some with him and he's going to leave some others behind. But I want you to notice what the text says and what the text does not say. The text does not say believers will be taken by Jesus to heaven while unbelievers will be left behind on earth. In fact, heaven and earth are not mentioned. Jesus is not mentioned in these verses. And furthermore, we find that believers and unbelievers are not mentioned either. And so to say that this means that believers will be taken by Jesus to heaven and unbelievers will be left by Jesus on earth behind is to add what is not found in the text. The text simply says that one will be taken and the other will be left. It doesn't say where one will be taken. It doesn't say where the other will be left. We simply are told one will be left and the other will be taken. Now we want to ask the question, when does this occur? When is it that one will be taken and the other one will be left? It's very important to know the answer to this question. Well, fortunately, the Bible leaves no doubt as to when one will be left and the other will be taken. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verses 29 to 31. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Here it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven even unto the other. Now, let me ask you, does this sound like some secret event? Notice once again what we're told. It says the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. It says that all the tribes of the earth will mourn as they see Jesus coming on the clouds. It says that Jesus will send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather the elect from the four winds. This passage tells us very clearly that this coming, which is mentioned here, is a very noisy, public, visible coming. Now, there's something that I need to underline in this passage. The word coming that is used in verse 30. You notice that word there? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. The word that is used there is the Greek word parousia. Now, I don't like to use a lot of Greek words, but this is one that we have to emphasize because we're going to come a little bit later to the verses that we started our study with this evening. Just remember that this coming that is described in verses 29 to 31 is described with the word parousia. Now I would like us to go a little bit further down to verse 37. Matthew 24 and verse 37. After speaking about the coming of Jesus, we are told this by Jesus. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you know what word is used there? The same word, parousia. So let me ask you, the events described in verses 29 to 31 and the event described in verse 37, are they describing the same event? Absolutely, because the same word for coming is used. Now, notice once again verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming, or the parousia, of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. Let me ask you, is the coming being described starting in verse 29 the same coming all the way through this passage? Yes, because the same word, parousia, is used throughout. Now, I'd like to ask you this. Is the second coming of Christ being compared with the destruction that took place in the days of Noah? Of course. So let's talk about what happened in the days of Noah. When the flood came, how many groups were left? Well, actually, when the flood came, there were two groups on earth, right? After the flood, there was only one. But when the flood came, there were two groups. One group were those who were inside the ark, safe. And the second group were those who were outside the ark and lost. Now let me ask you, how many of those who were outside the ark were destroyed? It says in Matthew 24 that the flood came and took them all away. And in the parallel passage in Luke 17, it says that the flood came and destroyed them all. So let me ask you, how many groups were there outside the ark? Were there those that when the flood came, some stayed alive and others were destroyed? No. Those who were outside the ark were all what? Destroyed. Whereas those who were in the ark all survived. Now this is a very important detail. Because what is being taught from Christian pulpits today is that when Jesus comes at the rapture, He's going to take some people to heaven with him, which are the righteous who are alive. And behind, he's going to leave two groups. One group are those who are destroyed when he comes. You know, there's a pilot who's piloting a plane, and you know, he's raptured, and so his airplane crashes and everybody is killed. And then you have an individual who's driving a car, and his car crashes because he's raptured off. And so you have all kinds of people dying, being killed on planet Earth, but then you have a lot of people who are left alive as well, who are going to live through the so-called seven-year tribulation. Now, does this square with what happened at the time of the flood? Absolutely not. Because at the time of the flood, there were those who were saved inside the ark, but outside the ark, everyone was destroyed. There were not those outside the ark who were alive and remained, and others that were destroyed when the flood came. Every single one of them was destroyed. Now, I need to mention something about the word that is used for flood in Matthew 24. You know, there are two words that are used to describe a flood in the New Testament. The first word that is used is potamos. For example, it's used where Jesus gave the parable about the man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the house remained firm because it was built on the rock. And then he speaks about the house that was built on the sand, and it falls when the floods come. Now, the word for flood that is used there is the word potamos. But in Matthew 24, the word that is used is different. And by the way, it's the only time in the New Testament that this Greek word is used. It's only used to describe Noah's flood, so-called, but it was really God's flood. And that word is the Greek word kataklysmos. Let me ask you, what word in English do we derive from the word kataklysmos? The word cataclysm. In other words, the flood was no little potamos, no little flood, no little local flood. It was a universal cataclysm where how many people were destroyed? Everyone was destroyed. So at the parousia of Jesus, how many people on planet Earth are going to be destroyed other than those who are saved? Every single one of them. No one is going to be left behind alive. Now, let's go also to Luke 17 and verse 26. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. Here, two events are compared with the second coming of Jesus. Two Old Testament events. It says there in Luke 17, and starting with verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the cataclysmos came and destroyed them all." Don't forget that. Very important. And now comes the second event. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed most of them." It says it destroyed them all. Let me ask you, how many groups of lost people were left when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? None. Well, there's only one group, those who were what? Destroyed. Some were not left alive and others destroyed. All of them were destroyed. So let me ask you, at the parousia of Jesus, is there going to be any wicked person who will remain alive on planet Earth if you have a parallel between the days of Noah and what happens when Jesus comes? Absolutely not. There will be only two groups. Now, somebody might say, "Yes, Pastor, okay, but how do you know that the verses that say that one will be left and the others will be taken, and the other will be taken, how do you know that that's talking about the moment of the parousia or the moment of the coming of Jesus? Are you understanding my question? How do you know that those verses aren't describing the rapture of the church before the parousia? The fact is, the context clearly indicates it. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 24. And let's read starting at verse 37 so that we can get the context. It says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also at the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field." When are two going to be in the field? At what moment are the two going to be in the field? At the parousia. Did you catch it or not? What does the word "then" indicate? It means that when the parousia takes place, then there will be one in the field, two in the field actually. One will be what? Taken, and the other will be left. So whoever is taken or left, this happens when? At the rapture or at the second coming of Jesus? At the glorious coming of Jesus. Because it's just spoken about the time of the flood. Two groups, the saved and the lost. And then it says, then one will be in the, two will be in the field, one will be left, and the other will be taken. So in other words, by noticing the beginning of verse 40, where it says, then shall two be in the field, it must be at the moment when Jesus comes in His glorious coming, and He destroys the world like the world was destroyed in the days of Noah. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's take a look at the broader context. And you're going to be surprised at what I'm going to say right now. This is going to really surprise you. Usually, when people read these verses, they say, well, when the text says that one is going to be left, that means that when Jesus comes, all of the wicked who are destroyed are going to stay on earth. They're going to be left here. And all of those who are saved are going to be what? Are going to be taken with Jesus. Now the only difference is that those who believe in the rapture believe that those who are left will be left at the rapture, and those who are taken at the rapture. Whereas Adventists have believed that when Jesus comes in His glorious coming, those who are left are those who are destroyed, and those who are taken are those who go to heaven with Jesus for 1,000 years. In other words, Adventists traditionally, along with people from other denominations, have believed that taken means taken to heaven and left means left behind. But surprise, surprise, the Bible tells us that the word taken and left, the words taken and left mean exactly the opposite. Now you say, how is this? Well, let's let the Bible explain itself. You see, you can't take words by their meaning in English, because the New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. We have to know what the words represented back then. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. We can't let English meanings of words dictate the meanings of words in the Bible, because the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, was written over 2,500 years ago. So we need to allow the Bible to explain its own terms. In the Bible, what does the word left mean, and what does the word taken mean? Well, let's go back. Do you think it might be a good idea to go back to the flood? Why do you think it would be a good idea for us to go back to the flood story? Oh, that's what Jesus is talking about, right? So probably it would be a good idea to go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And there are two particular words that I want us to look at in this verse, two special words. It's speaking about the flood in the days of Noah. Notice chapter 7 and verse 23. "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were" what? Don't forget that word. "They were destroyed from the earth." And now notice. "And Noah only" what? "Remained," and the word "alive" is in cursives, which means that it doesn't belong to the original text. They're supplying it because they think it belongs there. Really, "Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Now, let me ask you, what does the word "remain" mean? What is a synonym for "remain"? It means "left." And incidentally, let me just mention to you, what various versions have as a translation for the word destroyed that is used here and for the word remained in the King James. For example, the New International Version, which is probably the most popular version today, says that all living things were wiped out. Instead of destroyed, it says wiped out. And by the way, it's a good translation because the word for destroyed here is a word in Hebrew which means to totally obliterate and blot out from existence. It's the same word that is used to describe the prayer of Moses when he says, Lord, if you can't save these people, blot my name out from your book. It's the identical Hebrew word. And so the NIV says that all flesh was wiped out, only Noah and his family were left. That's the very word that is used. Only Noah and his family were left. So who were the left ones? The lost or the saved? All the saved. The New American Standard Bible translates that all flesh was blotted out and only Noah and his family were left. Once again, the word left. The New English Bible translates that all flesh was wiped out and Noah and his family alone survived. So to be left means to survive. It means to remain alive after the what? After the destruction. Now allow me to read here a statement from a Hebrew scholar. His name is Gary G. Cohen. He makes a living out of writing about the Hebrew Old Testament. He can read the Hebrew Old Testament like it was English. Notice what he has to say about this word, left. By the way, it's the Hebrew word, shawar. Notice what he says. Shawar seems to be used almost exclusively to indicate the static action of surviving after an elimination process. And then he says, this process of elimination may have been natural. And then he gives several examples. It may have been the direct result of divine intervention, or it might have been the result of a natural disaster. But he says, almost in every case, the word means that which is left over after a major calamity has destroyed. Now that's the meaning of the word in the story that we find in Genesis 7. Only Noah and his family what? Remained alive. Now let's notice several other texts from the Old Testament that use this word left. By the way, in the days of Noah, were the left ones the saved ones or the lost ones? Oh, they were the saved ones, not the lost ones. So those who are left are what? Are saved, biblically speaking. Now, let's notice Exodus chapter 14, verse 28. This same word, shawar. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 28. This is speaking about Pharaoh and his armies being drowned in the Red Sea. It says there, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. If you're using the old King James, it says, there remained not so much as one of them. The word remained there is the Hebrew word shawar. In other words, of the armies of Pharaoh, not one of them was what? Not one of them was left or remained or survived. So who would be the ones who are left? The ones who what? Who survive this destruction, not the ones who are destroyed. Now notice also Judges 4 and verse 16. Judges chapter 4 and verse 16. Here it says the following. Judges 4:16. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man, what? Left. Now, why weren't they left? Because they were all what? They were all destroyed. So, if there had been anybody left, would that left person have survived? Yes. So, when Jesus comes, who are the ones who will be left? Are they the ones who will be destroyed? No, they're the ones who are going to remain or are going to survive. Are you understanding me or not? Now, let's go also to Isaiah 4 and verse 3. The same Hebrew word, shawar, left. See, is it important to study words in their biblical meaning? You know, if you go by the English dictionary, you're in trouble because you have to let the Bible explain its words within a biblical context. Notice Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. This is speaking about what's going to take place after a great destruction has fallen upon Israel. All of the men almost have been destroyed, but there's a few who have not been destroyed. Notice Isaiah 4 and verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, after the destruction, if you read the previous verses, and he that remaineth, by the way, the word remaineth and the word left there are the same Hebrew word, shawar. So he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called what? Holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Who are the ones who are left? The wicked or the holy ones? The holy ones are left, according to this. And why were they left? Because the other ones were destroyed because of their apostasy, if you read the last few verses of chapter 3. Now, you say, what about the New Testament? Well, let me just mention in passing a couple of verses from the New Testament. You have, for example, this statement of Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 2, where he says that not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. See, there's not going to be one stone that is going to survive from the temple, in other words. There's not going to be one stone that remains. Are you with me? Now also notice Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and let's read verses 20 and 22. Mark 12, 20 and 22. This is speaking about the woman who got married and she left no seed. Notice verse 20, Mark 12 and verse 20. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying, what? Left no seed. What does that mean? That there remained no seed after her. There was no seed alive, right? Notice also verse 22. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. So in other words, there was no seed left alive. No seed remained. So the New Testament use of the word left follows the same pattern as the use of the word in the Old Testament. Now somebody might be saying, okay, Pastor, the word left, that means those who remain, those who are alive after a major calamity destroys. Let me ask you, is the second coming of Jesus a major calamity? Who's going to be left when this major calamity takes place? Who's going to remain alive? Only those who are what? Righteous and faithful. Now you're probably saying, yeah, what about the taken ones? Well, let's allow the Bible to explain who the taken ones are. See, let's not follow the English dictionary. Let's follow the Hebrew and the Greek. Now let's talk a little bit about the word taken. And allow me to read you a statement from another Hebrew scholar about the word taken. This is what he says, and I quote, most of the 121 uses of lakad deal with men capturing or seizing towns, men, and spoils, and even a kingdom.
This message is copyrighted and has been brought to you by Prophetic Ministries. Join us next time for Part 8 of The Rapture, Hoax or Hope. For further information, call 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. Or visit our website at propheticministries.net.